Welcome to a special edition of the Nationwide Podcast. In this episode, we are going to be talking all about elections, politics. The bell has officially rung, and elections is set to be on February 11th. And we have some two special guests from Barbados's two main political parties. On my left, we have
Janine Butcher, President of the Young Democrats.
And on my right,
Roshana Trim, President of the League of Young Socialists.
Thank you both so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Let's get right into it.
So, Janine, what do you think are some of the key issues that should be addressed when the candidates take to the podium?
Okay, so some of the main issues, I think, in terms of the bread and butter issues right now that's going on in Barbados, it should be like jobs, housing, the crime issue, also in regards to transportation, you know, in terms of the bus service as well. All of this, you got improving issues in regards to the main communities, whether it be the potholes in the roads, whether it be how they can do community groups, bring back even the mixing to the communities where Venezuela has that. What we had it here in regards to having it as constituency councils at the time, and where the work can also be done there. Also in regards to seeing how the government, whoever that may be at the time, can provide funding. So at the focus can be on communities where the youth can also play a major role and be able to be involved in building up their community and have a say in what goes on, so that they can feel that they are a part of, you know, the planning and not only the decision making, which comes after maybe something is wrong, they want to have a conversation, but that actually going to the planning in regards to what is happening within their communities. So I think that is where the work really starts as well.
I think it's very important that you mentioned that the youth need to be involved, you know, throughout this process, because we're the future. And, you know, we should have some say about how our country is being run. So I think that was a very important point that you made. Michana?
So definitely agreeing that those are some of the major issues, how we can continue to address challenges of cost of living. We know that there are some initiatives that have already been started, but also how do you continue in a world that is consistently evolving, constantly changing, and we also have very little control over for governments to address the challenges that Barbadians face. Whether or not we'll be looking at the things like further expansion of VAT free baskets and those different things. We also have to talk about workers and improving the conditions for our workers in terms of legislation, whether that, and also minimum wage. We know that that is something that has been introduced, and also youth employability, the kind of opportunities that we are able to offer to young people in order for them to be able to navigate life the best way possible. Training, education, and definitely health and well-being, because we know that your health is your wealth. And as a country whose only resources would be our people, then that becomes a priority for us.
And of course, when it comes to elections, one thing that keeps coming up is the youth, getting more young persons involved. Once you hit the age of 18, you are allowed to vote. Mm-hmm. And well, I know for me and Ashina on our end, in actually going out there to the respective communities and interacting with young people, a lot of them kind of feel somewhat neglected. What, in your opinions, are some of the key issues that you feel are important for young people that need to be addressed?
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Definitely the school to work transition and how we allow Barbadian young people to transition from that space where you are still dependent or still learning in order to work, and the workplace and school, they're definitely two very different places. And so how do we continue to enhance that? We have the Job Start program, we have apprenticeship programs. What is the next step for young people, and how do we make sure that as many young people as possible are able to access those opportunities skills and the provision of skills beyond just the academics, but also those technical skills. And once again, we've seen the implementation of workshops and courses and various things being incorporated so that young people who may not wish to go off into the traditional focus areas are able to access opportunities within other spaces. And then issues that just affect the general public. Cost of living affects young people. The access to opportunities and housing and all those different things, safety and community stability, those are things that matter to young people. And I think it's very important throughout the election season not to necessarily niche young people into this space where it's almost as these are the things that we'll share with young people so they feel a little better, while ignoring that young people exist in the same world that everybody else exists in. And we may have special or specific needs in some areas, but we also have to be able to bring young people into a general conversation so that they also are catered to within the entire conversation on things like we mentioned before.
I like that, because young people are a part of this society. Mm-hmm. What about you? What are some of those issues that can be addressed that you feel are important when it comes to young people in particular?
Right, so for me, it would be the this client of our Oshana would have mentioned in regards to the employment. I know she would have also mentioned the minimum wage, but in regards to the 21 cents on young people, we really don't feel that's enough at this point in time. Also, the affordable housing. You know, young people nowadays are very ambitious. They want to get a house, they want to get a car. So even being able to, you know, have a sustainable wage that can be able to go for a loan to get a car, even as part of a SWIFT being one of the cheapest cars in Barbados, so it's also hard to attain when you want to go for a loan from the bank for that. In regards to also, you know, the access to education, training and stuff like that, we know that their programs are going on. What happens after the program is finished as well? In regards to mental health services, I think that that is an issue that has been overlooked in Barbados for quite some time, whether whoever is in at the time. Mm-hmm. I think that that is something that needs to be tapped into, even from primary school. Early as primary school, you can look into those issues. We see primary school children even not getting into stuff that they are not even supposed to. So even we need to be more proactive than reactive in this country in regards to that type of issue. The crime and community safety, we can see now a lot of young people, when you look at the nation on a day-to-day basis, in regards to the amount of persons that are going to jail are between under 18 right now that are in these prisons. So in regards to that as well, digital opportunities and entrepreneurship, we know that YouTube is a big thing. I'm doing things on the internet, working from Barbados, working into another place. Mm-hmm. So even bridging that gap and allowing persons to have more access in regards to that and understanding to even you can be able to monetize YouTube here in Barbados, because that's not something that is currently done. Mm-hmm. I think that also would be a factor. In regards to even bridging it out as well, as further to say that there was a national youth policy done back in 2017, back under the Minister of Youth at the time, with Stephen Lashley. Mm-hmm. Now, since then, we haven't seen that being implemented here in Barbados at this present time, or even, you know, bridging from that and creating one, because I don't think, because it was done under the leadership of him back then, that it was just for a time of then. I think it should be used by any person to be able to, you know, for the development of the country as a whole, as we love our Barbados.
I love what you mentioned about mental health, because a lot of our young people, you know, suffer in silence, and mental mm-hmm. health is one of the key issues that a lot of our young people in Barbados face today. So I think that it is one of the critical areas that we need to definitely look at, you know, in relation to our young people and the future of our young people in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have Prime Minister Mia Moore-Motley of the Barbados Labour Party mm-hmm. and the opposition leader Ralph Thorne of the Democratic Labour Party. How will the issue of leadership factor into this upcoming election? And this is for anyone to answer.
Leadership has always been important, and it will always be important in any election or in any organization, particularly for countries like Barbados, small island developing states, particularly at a time like now, where we see the world opting to go that the mighty do whatever they want and the small have to just deal with it. And that kind of leadership, being able to lead not only locally but also on the world stage, means that to be able to set directions for Barbados and to be able to advocate on behalf of Barbados. You know, it was very interesting to see comments about saving the planet and the advocacy of the Prime Minister in relation to climate change and sustainable development is very important for us because we live on a small island, in a small island developing state, and we live on an island. And the way that the climate crisis affects us means that we are even more vulnerable, having done very little to contribute to the climate crisis in Barbados and locally. Leadership will also matter. That sets the tone for how we treat to the important matters, so how we set the vision, the progress, and how we move forward for Barbadians, whether we are opting to buy buses or not, whether we are opting to buy garbage trucks, whether we are choosing to support young people who are going into university or not. Leadership helps to decide those things, and it sets the country up for success. And it also inspires a level of confidence, both internally and externally, and that decides the way that we press ahead.
Yeah, leadership is always an important role in regards to not only being a leader, but also being a listener when you're the leader. In regards to what happened within the country, being able to pull from different individuals, not only yourself, because only because you're a leader doesn't mean that you have all the ideas. So being able to tap into everyone's mind and be able to bring up what they are saying, not only listening just because you want to listen, actually tap into those ideas and make them become a reality. In regards to not only, I'm trying to mention the word stage and stuff like that. However, in regards to Barbados, well, we do have, I think that all Barbadians are very intelligent to represent whether they're on stage or not. However, it takes a special kind of tenacity to also look at home and be able to, you know, really represent here. In regards to Ralph Smart's leadership, as you know, he would have brought the floor from the other side, and he would have brought the representation in regards to Parliament, allowing persons in Barbados to know what is happening in regards to standing up. And one person in regards to in a Parliament to 29 other people, it has to be tough. But to be able to stand, you know, in there alone, but be able to represent for Barbadians, I think it shows a great sense of tenacity and a great sense of determination in regards to being in leadership.
Definitely, leadership will be one of those things to look at in this election. Both parties are headed by some dynamic individuals, and all eyes will be on both of them, especially from the young people as well, to see how it goes. All right. So it was mentioned about crime. Crime is a major hot topic, especially as it relates to young people. So even here at the Nation, last year, we have this chalkboard, and as the year progressed, we would have listed all the homicides that would have happened. And one thing that I definitely noticed was that a lot of them are the victims and also the perpetrators are usually in that gap between the 80 to 35 age range about so, especially amongst young men. So we're seeing a lot of our young men involved in these crimes. And we got some statistics here too. 25% of youth age 15 to 19 were employed, and over half of that same age group were unemployed. So it seems as though there is somewhat of a gap after secondary school into finding that employment. And it's almost as though the unemployment trend is somewhat linked into the trend of crime as well. How do you believe that your respective youth groups can help in that issue and not letting young people, specifically young men, going on this wrong path, especially leaving after the secondary school?
In regards to the respective youth groups, I think that whether or not you're from the Young Socialist, the Democratic Party, wherever, I think that you should be, and even the third parties, though, because you know there are other parties, mm-hmm. I think that they will always have ideas, but I think that just like if you're an opposition or the government, you receive a subvention, I think that that should be given to the youth groups across Barbados to be able to implement their ideas. Because funding, you can have as much ideas as you want to, but funding is always an issue. Sometimes youth groups can even come together to create one big thing. Late last year, you would have had, you know, on the Young Democrat site in regards to a youth ignite weekend, which wasn't only catered to the Democratic youth, but youth across Barbados. We really started off with not just a lone line, and then it went on to a rally, and then we had the youth forum, right, that we would have discussed the minivan culture, and different persons would have came out. It was, as I said, it wasn't only to be a political so-called per se. So persons who are not political came, and they would have made their voices heard. At the end of the day, I think is also being able to implement what is done, what is said, sorry, from the persons who come to engage you. And that is where funding comes into place. Being going back to what I would have stated earlier, also to having those something like the constituency councils back, even if it's not called that, those would play a major role. We would have had a point in time where we could have gone out as young people to a lot of activities to engage our mind. There was once upon a time dance fest going on. I remember going to that. There was the cheerleading competitions. There was the things in communities where persons would have had. Remember, there was a thing in the Pine where the guys could have gone and sing, you know, make music, and they were given incentives, sorry, at the time. So I think that being able to do these stuff to keep the youth, the mind engaged from time to time, will be able to help, because crime is not something that one particular person can stop. It needs to be a holistic thing where everybody's engaged. So I think even like putting these programs in place can help to reduce it and allow persons to be able to put their minds into different places.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I come from a long history of doing advocacy, community work, being in youth groups, and youth groups helped a lot coming from a working class family, just getting me out the house, getting me out to the environment. So I am a firm believer in the work of youth organizations and community organizations and grassroots movement in order to ensure that young people are on the right path, but that they see other opportunities outside of what they are used to. And we've seen a drop in the amount of community organizations. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is really because less people are volunteering, but also we need to make sure that more resources are available to youth organizations like the Barbados Youth Development Council, who's been receiving a lot of support, and other organizations, both the League of Young Socialists as well as the Young Democrats are members of the Barbados Youth Development Council. They offer funding to youth organizations who might want to do projects as the Division of Youth. And the question is, how do we come together as these organizations with scarce resources in order to have outreach to young people who may need it the most? And so I firmly believe that it is important for us to be able to provide resources to young people, but also that we direct young people as youth organizations, we direct youth young people to the kinds of programs, to the kind of opportunities that already exist, because in many instances, a lot of persons do not know some of the opportunities and the programs that exist. Some of them are unaware about the things being done by the community development, some of the courses that may be available to them. And one of the things that I've recognized is, even if I have a form for a program, or I could point somebody to a website or to an Instagram page or anything like that, those kind of resources go a long way in ensuring that persons are not only informed, but they're taking advantage of the kind of programs that we already have out there. And there are several programs, whether you want to choose from youth organizations as well as programs that already exist, and also drawing on the expertise of persons in youth organizations, because we have young people who are lawyers, doctors, who have expertise, HR managers, and who can guide. And so supporting those initiatives that already exist while creating new ones and providing the information to young people would go a long way in addressing some of the unemployment challenges that we face, so that they have the skills and the tools to either start their own businesses or access the employment opportunities, but also to ensure that they're able to engage with persons who could help them to view things sometimes from a different lens and a different perspective, because we think that a gold spoon is only having money, and sometimes it really isn't that. It's encouragement, it's opportunities, and it's someone that's just there to say, you should do this, or you can do this, or I'm with you as you navigate this difficult path. And that really goes a long way as well.
I like how you both mentioned the need for community or youth organizations, and that actually happened. That conversation came up in an interview yesterday in, I think, Das Valley, where one of the residents was saying that, you know, there's a need for a community center in the area. There's young men who want to do things. They like to lead. They like to do different things with their hands. But it's to just have that facility there for them to be able to use their talents positively, because he said the area is not one that has violence. You know, it's just that the young people need somebody to guide them and to really, a place for them to hone their skills. So I think that was important that you guys brought up the need for a community center or for a youth-focused organization.
If I may, I want to say that in the same vein that we also have to start to utilize other spaces, because sometimes a community center, and we have to be honest about resources as well, a community center may not always be feasible in every community. And that's not to say that you can't use other spaces. So for example, is there a school in the area? Is there someplace else that could be used? A church? How do we utilize existing spaces within our communities to deliver the kind of programs and initiatives that we want? And additionally, how do we look from within our communities in order to find the kind of expertise to assist? So sometimes, for example, if you live in one community and you are interested in starting a homework program, what kind of resources or how many more people do you need in order to pitch in? Because oftentimes it has to start somewhere. And if we recognize that there is a need in our communities, a lot of community initiatives have started because one person recognized the need and they opted to offer their skills 1 hour, 2 hour in order to deliver that program. And so there's a role, as Janine mentioned, for everybody, for government, for public sector, private sector, private individuals, youth organizations, church groups, community groups, whatever kind of interest group it is, for us to be able to address some of the challenges that we face, particularly with youth crime as well as deviancy.
I think that's a very good point that you made.
A holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Okay, kind of shifting gears a bit. Now, we know Barbados ranked number one for education, and a study showed that it actually performed the poorest for unemployment, for employment and opportunity. Now, you know, we have this issue where, you know, we grow up hearing, you go to school, you learn, you get your degrees, you get a job. But in reality, that's the issue, because not everybody that leaves school with a degree gets a job immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that is one of the most common issues that young people face. And I guess it is also one of the issues where it might even lead them into doing crime, because you can't get a job. So what other way are you going to get, I don't know, money or some other opportunity? So how do you think this problem can be rectified or fixed so that our young people have more employment opportunities to be able to use their skills, the skills that they got from school, to be able to utilize the degrees that they got a year or two ago?
That's a really good question. And there has to be multiple approaches to that, right? So one, I look at the Job Start program and the ability to get experience. One of the things that frustrated me coming out of school is that I was fresh out of university, and every job that I wanted to apply to required 5 years experience.
Yep.
I barely got experience being an adult, right? So that's a challenge. And so the ability to gain experience is very important. And I know quite a few of the persons who started the program, they've been able to either be retained by their jobs or go on to find other jobs because they have experience. The ability to expand that program for more people to access it. The other thing that I think was very good was the job registry started by the Ministry of Labor, so that you can register your skills and employers and employees could actually link with each other on the job registry so that I know the kind of skills that already exist in Barbados. Now, if we know the kind of skills that already exist in Barbados, we know the ones that do not. And so training can be tailored for the kind of skill gaps that we have. Additionally, there are reports that come out all the time about the kinds of jobs, the kinds of industries that are emerging, the kinds of places that we need to focus our attention, because we know that the world is shifting away from a lot of the traditional things that we used to teach and the traditional jobs we used to embrace. And so that also has to be another way mm-hmm. to align training and education with those skills that exist. In some areas, we have way too many professionals, and persons will argue that we have this huge set of persons who are in certain fields and who cannot find jobs, which means that if we do not have a society that either requires or can afford these persons, then we need to be able to redirect persons to other spaces in order to find employment, whether that is for them, unfortunately, to leave and get experience and come back if they so wish, or for us to be able to say to persons who are entering university, these are the areas that are most important. And we see that with the National Development Scholarships. The other thing is that there has to be a commitment to diversifying a bit more in areas that Barbados has not yet tapped into, STEM industries. That's very important to us because the world is heading that direction. And so being able to either build companies or build industries or invite companies who already exist in those areas to come to Barbados so that persons here who are trained in those areas could get the requisite experience is also important. And so in my mind, those are some of the ways that we could seek to address challenges of unemployment, in addition to the fact, the idea that the private sector, there has to be a commitment by private sector and the public sector to employ young people. There are some jobs that I definitely argue do not require 5 years of skills. There are some jobs that don't require you to come in knowing everything that you need to know. And if we are asking young people for experience, 5 years experience for a entry-level job, you have automatically cut out a group of people, young people, the same persons that you are asking to be employed, to contribute to productively to society. We can't access it because no one is willing to take a chance on us. And I feel like a lot of times the challenge is that people are not willing to take chances on young people. And we have to, if we're serious about developing our young people.
What are your thoughts, Janine?
All right, so for me, I think it's aligning the education and the labor market needs. I also think that in regards to, I think it needs to change in regards to how schools are viewed. Because no matter if you go to St. John's Secondary School or you go to Harrison College, at the end of the day, when it comes to the CSEs exam, everybody's going to do the same thing. So I think that being put into society, you know, saying this school is greater than the other, I think that it needs to start from there as well. Roshana would have mentioned the private sector partnerships. I think that that is very important in regards to allowing young children, even from the age of 15, I know that you can't work out really at that time, but to go into the businesses, even it can be a school program. I know there was an Agonar program at one point, so I'm not sure if that still exists, but in regards to allowing children to go into the businesses, do some internships there, even on school time, you know, when there's not much going on at school, after the exams and stuff like that, being able to have that experience, even for youth, people to have youth groups, be able to have that on the CV and also have that foreign experience, because even that would encourage more young people to say, well, I've got to get in this youth group so I can have some experience for a job. So that maybe that's another way that you can format it as well. In regards to also expanding entrepreneurship grants and startups, a lot of people, reality is they don't really want to work for nobody. So if you can give them like a pathway, everybody can't be an entrepreneur either. So I think that they would need to understand that, but the ones who are really, really passionate about it and really want to go after it, I think that some grants can be offered to them. I know that there is something in place for that already, but even if you can navigate it in a different way for them to also not able to receive the grant, only but to receive education about why you're having this grant and what it requires for you to continue to keep getting this grant, or that will be pulled from you. So, you know, giving them a sense of accountability as well. In regards to also creating structural national internships and apprenticeship schemes as well. I know Roshana would have mentioned of overseas businesses coming here. That is a great initiative as well, because young people always need visible pathways to success. And I think that once these things are not only taught to what we're doing here, but are implemented, I think we can see some real change in regards to that.
Definitely, definitely. Well said, both of you. Now, we're going to be landing this plane. One final question, and I think this question is, again, something that I keep seeing in headlines, and that is voter apathy, right? I know for me, and I should have, that comes up again and again. Well, I want to vote, I don't care about voting, such and such. And we usually hear it from younger persons. Both of you have been out on the road with your respective parties and interacting with the different persons within communities. What are you hearing from young people? What are the reasons that they're giving you about not voting, and how are you guys encouraging them to exercise this right, this constitutional right?
So it's true. It is, even among friends, this discussion comes up in terms of not wanting to vote, not being interested in voting, not being interested in the process. And part of it is a frustration, the feeling that regardless of what happens, I have been and we have been locked out of the process to some extent and the system. And so it does not work for young people. It does not work for the average person. And it's not new. It continues to grow, and I think it's going to continue to be a challenge unless we continue or we attempt to make adjustments to the systems that are in place now. There are a couple of things that I tell people. The first I posted on my page, my Instagram page yesterday, which is that one of the reasons that I vote is because at one point in time, persons who looked like me could not vote. And prior to 1951, the descendants of the formerly enslaved could not vote. We did not have enough money. We did not look the right color. We were considered uneducated, and we considered that we could not contribute. And the fact that through organization and advocacy and struggle, I can now vote, it means that there is a responsibility that I have to democracy that those who came before me fought for. And that history matters to me, and so I vote, because I don't believe anybody else should have the right to decide the direction of my life. In the same way that when persons say they don't do politics, I say, well, politics can do you regardless. You know, politics affects you regardless of whether you go into that ballot box or not. You are impacted by the policies of any government, because believe me, there will be a government. And so because there will be a government, you should mark your attendance on that. That is how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But the last thing is that I'll say here is this. We've been made to believe that when you vote, that's the end of it. And so for the next 5 years, 4 years, however long that term is, that you've already done your civic duty. And that isn't it. There's power in that ballot box, and there's power outside of that station, wherever you go to vote. And so when you leave there, whoever becomes the government is now public servants. They now are in service to you. And we as people have to be able to hold them accountable for that. And I believe strongly that governments and policymakers have a responsibility to ensure that they continue to engage with persons after the ballot is done. We continue to have consultations, public discourse and debate, and to encourage public discourse and debate. And that's one of the things that I like about Barbados. And admittedly, that's one of the things that I've liked over the couple of years. I know persons see when the government makes a decision or a policy and then they reel it back or they take it to committee, they see it as a failure of democracy. I don't see it as a failure of democracy. I see it as democracy in action. Because to me, if you consult before, that's great. That should happen. If you make a decision and it does not hit the way that it should, and people say, whoa, like, hold up, then any government that is listening, any government that is interested in and cares, is going to say, well, okay, maybe in hindsight, we should have done this. And let's go back to that. And so I think that we have to continue to engage. And I don't want young people to stop engaging with the process and the system, because that's how the system completely shuts us out. Because then it says, well, young people don't talk. So we ain't got to come to young people. We ain't got to worry about engaging young people in this kind of way. And that's my way of engaging with young people who are interested in actually being part or not, who don't want to vote at this point in time.
Jenny?
Right, so I like how Rochelle stated that your participation in politics doesn't only end with, you know, voting for a particular party. I'm one who believes that firmly, and I encourage persons, and I say that to them even on the campaign trail, like even prior to the election bell was run. This is something we were seeing while canvassing on a day-to-day basis in regards to encouraging persons that whether it's the election time or not, I know young people may not want to go to a march, but they might want to protest online. Some people love Twitter, you can either use them. I mean, there are different ways that you can be able to stand up for something and not fall for anything. And I think that in Barbados, sometimes not only young people, but either older, they didn't see mates, older persons, if policies pass, not even fighting for it or saying like we don't agree with this. So they just want to do a labor report. So like, whatever happened, happened. But we can't allow ourselves, even as the future generation, to continue to go down that path in regards to having this voter apathy, which is completely real, going on. In canvassing, being on the Democratic Labour Party side, there were some interesting views in regards to the persons on the ground. You know, there are some persons who are even saying that we don't understand some of the stuff that would have happened within the party. There's no doubt about it that our party would have been through a tumultuous time period, but I think what the party would have filled in regards to that is defending their record from the 2018 period, prior to the 2018 period at the time period. So I hope that soon from now they'll be able to share, although that time has passed, what they would have achieved during that time. However, some young people also see it as, you know, we're just hopping from there to there. So persons, if somebody was called the $1 billion problem, I know they would have been hired the next day after the election was done, or if somebody was part of a lost decade, so quote unquote, which is on through, and then they were called over. So perhaps they have a certain office within a particular party. That's, they see it as like whatever is whatever. At the end of the day, if they think that the politicians are just big close friends and that they're just cahoots in regards to, you know, making certain policies at the time, that's where they will agree that politicians are not enemies. They're not supposed to be the real enemies. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think that everybody wants to get to, if you're going to Bridgetown, we might take different routes, but I think that we want to get to the same place at the end of the day, and that's to make Barbados better. And I think that young people should not stand on the side and allow things to, you know, just happen any old way. I think that also is the education. I think we can even start it in school, having like more debates and stuff like that, you know, creating like a little parliament in schools during the social study time, that people make up their own party names if they want to, you know, have that kind of interaction and learning. It's something that you can participate in. You don't have to be a lawyer, a doctor, although we see that happening a lot. You have to have a certain profession to be able to be a politician. I think that we need to move away from that in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to be free to, if you want to make a decision, you think this is the way, and you want to get more active in politics, and maybe you are just an entrepreneur, hairdressers make a lot of money, you might be a hairdresser, but you might want to be involved in politics. And I think that you should not be shut out just because you have that particular job. So I think that having, you know, a more inclusive approach, knowing that you are not less than somebody because you don't have a particular profession. I always encourage them, you can also get into policy making, do it on your Instagram, do it on your Twitter. It doesn't matter who you are.
These are both good points from both of you. Mm-hmm. And Roshanna, one important thing that you said, you know, the continued engagement even after mm-hmm. you go to the polls. I think that's important because that helps to build trust among mm-hmm. the persons in the various areas, you know, to say, well, I could trust this person because they come out and they check and see, well, what is this issue or what is that issue? So I think that is critical, you know, throughout this election process and any other process, you know, that involves a government.
Absolutely.
Thank you both, Janine and Roshanna, for joining us here today. It was a pleasure chatting with both of you.
Thank you.
And it was good, you know, seeing different perspectives, you know, and just learning different things about the election process and how young people should get involved and how they should be supported and, you know, how they should be involved in the process. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, please. And thank you to our viewers for tuning in. If you want to check out this episode and more, tune in to our website, our YouTube page, and any platform where you listen to your audio podcast. Until next time.